Boy, I have to really rest in the Lord when it's time change Sunday, because I have this terrible phobia that I'm going to show up an hour late for church, and that's not good when you're the preacher. So I'm very thankful to be here and be here on time. When are they going to quit doing this thing is my question. I don't know. Anyway, we got to get back to business here. Marks of discipleship. Last few Sundays, I don't know, 2 months or so, I guess we've been working on this. So we're still on our marks of discipleship. What does a disciple or a follower of Jesus look like? What is their life like? And so we're talking about that. So let's look at our puzzle here. So we have our first word, G, is for generosity, right? So believers are generous. They're going to give to the Lord out of their first fruits, right out of the first day of the month, right out of the gate. Christians are generous. P, Christians also are praying people. So the apostle also pray without ceasing. So we're always in a constant state of prayer. And we're praying about ourselves and God changing our lives. But we're praying for others. We're praying for the world. We're praying for the country. We're praying for those who are in authority over us. We're praying for people we know that don't know the Lord, possibly. So we're praying for all these things, doing that all the time. Another mark of discipleship is W is for worship. And worship occurs privately, but it also occurs corporately. And we know that to worship the Lord is to obey the Lord. So in private, we obey the Lord. In a corporate setting, we also obey the Lord. But a church is not a corporation. C is for community. Community, because we're connected to each other as members of the body. And touching is a big thing. And the fellowship that we have. Another mark of discipleship started with E, and E is for evangelism. Right there on the end. Oh, I'm sorry, S. I'm sorry, you got it. You're right, Annabelle. S is for service. So in this community, we're serving each other and those in the world. I remember meeting somebody one time at a conference, Bible conference in Dallas, and this guy next to me was from New York City. And this was not a Baptist thing. And he asked me what I did. I said, well, I pastor a Southern Baptist church. He said, oh, I know all about the Southern Baptists. I said, you do? From New York City? And he said, yeah. He said, after 9/11, he said, all the Baptist men were there in their yellow shirts and their yellow vests, and they were helping us. He said, I will never forget the Southern Baptists. And I said, wow, that's pretty awesome. But they were there serving during that time. And then E is for evangelism. So Michael, you come on and make your way. Michael shared with me an experience about getting to share the gospel. And so I said, hey, why don't you come and tell everybody in the church about your experience? I think it would be good. We need to hear from how God is working through the body in different ways. So I asked Mike if he would come and share a few words about being a follower of Jesus through evangelism.
Thank you, Pastor. Yesterday, as Cindy and I were leaving Olivia's for breakfast, we changed what we were going to do. I was to go with her to run some errands. That was the plan. But I decided on the way to the car, take me home. I need to do some chores, and you can run the errands. So we did that, and as we were driving home, in our driveway, we could see a white SUV there. And we knew we weren't expecting anybody, so we wondered who that was. As we drove up, there was a tall man in a tie holding a little pamphlet in his hand, waiting to greet me when I got out of the car. He introduced himself, and his purpose for the visit was to invite us to the annual commemoration of the death of Christ. And the pamphlet said it was either going to be at Studio C on one day and the Kingdom Hall on the other. He handed me the tract. It had the dates and the times on it. Okay, so remembering Brother Mike's introduction to one verse evangelism, I thought, wow, this is an opportunity to try this. And you know what? As a plumber, I really like getting a new tool that really works and does the job I need it to do. This is a great tool. This is one to be in your evangelism toolbox. I allowed him to make his presentation, and then I asked him and focused on, do you have the gift? And I camped on that word for the whole time we were there. Do you have the gift? No matter where he wanted to go, we went back to, do you have the gift? I reached for my pen. I didn't find any paper in my pocket. So I asked him, can I write on the track you just handed me? He said, yes, that would be okay. I drew the line down the page. On the left side, I told him, let's look up Romans 6:23. And let's read it. And as he read, I was writing down, for the wages of sin is death. I stopped him right there. And I wrote these words on the left side. We discussed what wages meant. And we came to the agreement that it was compensation owed for some service. Now it's important that you establish some definitions of words with some of these folks, because they may use different meanings for the words we consider really common. But, and then we went on to the word death, which was pretty easy to come to an agreement on. That was pretty simple. I said, you know, the word but may be the biggest word in the Bible. And we finished reading the verse as I wrote down, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And remember, I'm writing this on his track. That's really important. Then we had to discuss the meaning of eternal life, and we agreed that it meant having a beginning but no ending. So again I asked him, do you have the gift? He had no answer. So then the Spirit led me to look up Ephesians 2:8 and 9, where it says, for by grace, and their New World Translation I think says something like God's, for by God's goodness, or something like that. It says, King James says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, at some point in this discussion, he tried to interject how works were important. And we talked about that for a little bit. Actually, that came a little bit later. He tried to jump over to 144,000 in heaven. Okay? And I said, you know, on this point, we have to agree to disagree, because I've studied the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society teaching on this, and they always leave out the part of chapter 14 of Revelations, which says these are 144,000 men who have not known women. They are virgins. And that stopped the whole conversation about that right there. Okay, so then the Lord led to 1 John 5:10. And I've got to read that also. In between this, I excused myself to run in the house and get my King James Version of the Bible, because both the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons recognize King James Version of the Bible as authorized scripture, and of course their own translations, but the others they're not so good with. So if you have a King James Version of the Bible and this mission field comes to you, have it ready. And the thought occurs to me, be ready. Because the pastor just put up there, generous. And we need to be generous with our time, not slam the door in their face. Because as a friend who told me many years ago, who came out of this cult, he said, these are really honest, sincere people that have been misled by a shepherd. So be generous with your time. Share your testimony. Don't get off into birthdays. Don't get off. If you can't do the 144,000 thing, don't get off into that. Share your testimony, share this one verse evangelism, and maybe have a couple others outlined. We went to 1 John 5:3. He that believeth on the Son hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. Later, as I was writing this down, I thought, man, I wish I had stopped on the word witness for just a pregnant pause, but I missed that opportunity. Verse 11, and this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life. And this life is in the Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and ye may believe in the name of the Son of God. Okay? Again, I asked him, do you have the gift? And the gift, of course, is eternal life. Now, you need to know one little thing. Most of these folks coming to your door are working hard to gain a place in the thousand-year reign with Christ. And they don't have anything beyond 1,000 years. But I already explained to him, and we agreed what eternity was. And we said it had no end. So a couple other thoughts came to mind later as I thought of this. But, you know, if you went to a bank of life and the withdrawal slip had two boxes, it said 1,000 years or eternity, which would you check? Anyway, about this time, a lady came out of the car, an elderly lady came out of the car, and she kind of interjected the thing about works. And I said, well, I knew about James, and faith without dead is works. But I said, works to gain favor with God is wrong. But works out of appreciation and love for what the Lord has done for you is right. And we agreed to that. And oh, they had to go. And that was kind of the end of the discussion. So again, I'd encourage you, when this mission field comes to your door, be ready. Have your Bible handy. Thank you.
I wanted you to hear from Mike. And, you know, obviously he had made a decision that he wanted to be a witness for the Lord, that he recognized that being a follower of Jesus is one who is involved in sharing the gospel. And so he made a decision somewhere back there, hey, I want to do this. And he prepared himself. And he did so through the one verse evangelism. And I would encourage you to make a similar decision also in wanting to share the gospel. It's exciting and it's fun. And it's not just about preachers doing that. It's about all of us sharing the good news with people. The thing I wanted you to hear too, though, is, you know, the people that he shared with, God loves every Jehovah's Witness. He loves every Mormon. They're sincere, but they're sincerely wrong. And so we always want to express God's love to them, but do so through the truth. So we don't want to slam doors on them, but we want to be ready for them. And, you know, what Mike did didn't mean that they turn around and said, oh boy, we ought to go down there and start and join the First Baptist Church. We ought to get saved. They didn't do that. But he shared the truth with them. He planted a seed, and God will use that like a broken record in their minds about, particularly about the gift. So thank you, Mike, for your faithfulness. And it's an encouragement to all of us to do that as well. Now, our last mark of discipleship is Scripture. S is for Scripture. So last few Sundays, we've been working on this. And so I think one of the things that enlightened me as I did my project for school and listening to the New Testament was I underestimated the power of God through the text, through the Scripture. I have a little story here. Mark and Gloria Zook, they were doing missionary work in Papua New Guinea with the Mook people. After months of intense culture and language study, they were finally ready to communicate with the Mooks. None of them had any previous exposure to the Scripture, so the Zooks decided to tell the stories of the Bible in chronological order, in an oral fashion. Over the next few weeks, the Mooks became so intent on the stories, they stopped eating and would not sleep. Just from listening, just from hearing the stories of God's Word. They spent every waking moment discussing the message and listening with redundancy to the lessons on the tape, the cassette tapes that the Zooks had given them. As they listened to the trials leading up to the crucifixion, the Mooks felt that somehow Jesus would escape. Fear and reverence for God fell over the Mooks as they heard God's Word. Mark and Gloria shared from their experience and said, we went back to the story of Abraham and Isaac. Just as a real lamb was substituted for Isaac, Jesus' death and blood was shed for all of you. At that point, the lights really went on. Mark could see and hear the people responding, Itau, Itau, I believe, I believe. It's true. It's very true. Offering the Word of God just so that they could hear God's voice, even though they couldn't read it, brought them change, eternal change in their lives. And I think I have underestimated the Word of God in knowing how powerful it is to change men's lives. Yes, I always knew that, but it's been exciting as I have engaged the Word of God in a new way and have encouraged others to do so as well. Not long ago, we looked at Philip Keller's book on the shepherd and the sheep. And Philip took a quote from someone else in his book. Philip, his name is Robert Mulholland. He says something about what God does with his word. Listen to this. Robert says, "A sheep that passes under the rod is one which has been counted and looked over with great care to make sure all is well with it. The shepherd will take his rod and he will part the sheep's wool to determine the condition of the skin and the cleanliness of the fleece and the conformation of the body. For only in this way can its hidden problems be laid bare before the shepherd, if we allow it, if we will submit to it." Robert says, God, by his word, will search us as well. In fact, this is where the phrase comes from. There will be no pulling the wool over his eyes. So this is an illustration showing the power of God's word and how God pulls back the wool in our lives so that he can look deep down inside and we can look with him as well. The problem is, though, as we have talked about it in the last few Sundays, as we saw in the survey that we took in our church back in January of 17, that many of us are not engaging God's word, and so we're not having this kind of opportunity that the Lord wants to give us. Now, up here, we have some slides for you. We all need lots of things. You know, in the morning, one of the first things that I'm looking for is for that cup of coffee. We all need those kinds of things. Our little slide, Annabelle. Thank you. So we all need things, you know, and coffee's one of them. But we really need to engage God's word, right? And the survey showed us, I get my glasses back on, that we took in January of 17, that 70% of us were not engaging God's word with consistency. And that really could be in any church. That's pretty generic. 90% of those who were surveyed said, hey, I'm not consistent. So what are we supposed to do? Well, the text commands us, God commands us to engage his word. And so this is what we need to do. Why do we need to do this? This is the command of God. It also supplies us with power for faith. You know, over here in the text, we also have a great illustration. I mean, we don't have to pull something from the outside. Over in 2 Chronicles chapter 34, Josiah was the king. The text, the scriptures had been lost for a long time. Finally, they're looking around in the temple there. And Hilkiah, the priest, was dusting off a bunch of books in verse 14. And he found the Bible. He found the book of the law. We believe it was the book of Deuteronomy. And so they brought it to Josiah, and they read it to him. They began to read it to him. And then in verse 19, when the king heard the words of the law, that he tore his clothes. It affected him. It had such a powerful effect on his life that he rent his clothes. He was so ashamed of his life and the way Israel had been going without hearing from God's word. They had strayed from the Lord. So hearing God's word gives us tremendous power for change. Now, hearing God's word for us needs to not just be an isolated event, but it needs to be done with consistency. And when we are consistent, it offers us an opportunity for change. Now, I didn't say it would give us change. It's not automatic. The Pharisees engaged God's word. They had the Old Testament memorized. And yet they were as far away from God as they possibly could be because their response, they closed their hearts to what they were hearing from God. So it's not an automatic. No, what engaging God's word with consistency will offer us is an opportunity to change, to be what God wants you to be. We must have the proper response. But it will offer the opportunity, and that is a beautiful thing. So we have this problem. We need a solution. It needs focus. It needs to be simple. We don't want to wear everybody out. What are we going to talk? What are we talking about here? We're talking about listening to the Word of God as opposed to reading it. Because many, particularly our Gen Xers and our millennials, they're not reading at all. Many of our baby boomers, not reading at all. Now, they're reading the news, and if you're an old person, you read Facebook. Is that right, Matt? Matt told me that like 2 weeks ago. I said, welcome to Floresville, you know? So, yeah, he didn't say that. I misquoted Matt. I'm sorry. But really and truly, Facebook is not really a younger generation kind of thing so much as it is for the older guys. You know, they're doing Snapchat and Instagram and Twitter, stuff like that. So, but even the older people, on all the research that I did, the older people, they're not reading like they used to. But my focus particularly is about these new generations that are coming to fill the places where you're seated right now. They're not reading left to right. They're not reading in a linear fashion. They're not picking up books and reading that has bled over into the church, and therefore they're not reading the Word of God. And so, well, is there another way to engage God's Word? Yes. And before the printing press, that's all they did. Was listen. When Jesus went around speaking and teaching through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, people heard his words through what? Through their ears. And then as the apostles preached the word of God through the book of Acts, they heard the word of God, and the change and the transformation and the explosion of the gospel came through people's ears. So this is not something that's really new, but it's new to us because we always think about in one way of engaging the text through reading. And so we are proposing another way to do this. People said, well, the reason they're not doing this is because they're so busy. Well, there are things we are doing already in our activity, in our schedules, that we can marry and listen to the text. If you exercise, you can listen to the text while you're exercising. Or if you're driving to work. Now, this wouldn't work for me because I only have to come through two stop signs to get to church, you know, from home. But for many people, if you have to go to San Antonio, it could work for you, okay? So we need a strategy. We've got to connect the dots. We know that research tells us that when we have variety, this will boost attention and increase learning. So even if you're used to reading, if you add listening to reading, you're going to boost attention. And I know this is true because of my own life, because I'm a reader. I'm a big reader. I've always been a reader. And so listening was kind of a tough deal for me to walk into. Like, I don't need to do that. I'm already reading the text. And then when I started listening to the text, I went, oh, this is different. This is not the same. I'm hearing things in the text that I don't remember reading. And even if I remember reading it, which, you know, I remember reading a lot of stuff when I'm listening, there were things there that didn't touch me, that didn't affect my life, that I passed over. You can get so familiar with parts of the text when you're reading it that when you get to it with your eyes, you just kind of skip right over it. And you don't, oh, I've already been there. I've already done that. I've already worked through that. But when you're listening to the text, you can't do that. You can't skip over. You're forced to listen to scriptures that you passed over before. It's different. And it's different coming through your ears than coming through your eyes. And God wants us to absorb His presence, His Spirit, and His words through all of our senses. God gave us all these senses to use, so we don't want to limit how we are exposed to God and His Spirit. So variety, even in secular research, boosts attention and increases learning. Now, here's what we want to focus on today. Because for you, we're going to have a 40 days of listening for the whole church, of listening to the text, hoping to get through the whole New Testament, 28 minutes a day, 40 days. We're going to start that after Easter. Whether you're a member or non-member, for everybody can be included and involved in this. We're going to ask everybody to listen to the text. To listen to the text, if you haven't been engaging the text, if it's been rare for you, or every 3 days, or once a week, or hardly ever, you're going to have to develop a new habit. To have a new habit, you've got to have a cue, a routine, and a reward. Now, a cue is a trigger. In other words, you're going to designate a trigger in your day that says, when this happens, I'm going to listen to God's word. Now, my trigger, for example, was I wake up in the morning, brush my teeth, I put my exercise clothes on, my shorts, my tennis shoes, and a t-shirt, get a drink of water, you know, do that kind of thing, and then I put my choker on Hudson. And I get his leash on because he's going to walk with me. But the trigger is walking. What does walking mean for me? It means listening. So when I walk, I listen. And so I did this in our project for the whole 40 days. And so it was awesome because now I'm getting, and I love listening while I'm walking, by the way, because I'm moving, I'm exercising. You know, sometimes when you're sitting there for a long period of time, like through a sermon, you can get sleepy. You can just feel yourself, you're slowing down your heart rate, all that kind of stuff. But when I'm walking, I'm more, man, I'm like, I'm with it. I'm really alert, you know? And I like being out there, seeing the trees, and I don't like squirrels because Hudson wants to go after them. But I like, you know, just being out there, the sunshine, you know, all that kind of stuff, and I can hear God's word. So my routine was waking up in the morning and walking means I'm going to be listening. So you have to have something. Your plan cannot be ad hoc. You must be deliberate. Thank you. Deliberate in this effort, okay? Now, one other thing in your habit formation is you need a reward. If you're going to make some sacrifice in your life to create a habit, a new habit, your brain needs to tell you it's worth the sacrifice. So, what I did was I said, hey, if I listen, if I follow my plan, then when I get home, I get to drink a cup of coffee. Because I like to drink coffee. It's something I really, but if I don't listen, I don't get to drink the cup of coffee. So, I listened for 40 days. It was no problem. Because I wanted to get that cup of coffee. Now, what happened with a lot of us in our project was, eventually, as you're listening to the word of God, that changes. Your God is moving in your life. Well, that's all the reward you need. And your brain is saying, man, this is great. I get to hear God's voice today. It's wonderful. So you have this new habit. Now, it takes a while to create a new habit. And we did it for 40 days. Sometimes they'll say it takes 120, 130 days. It's different for everybody. Some say 60-something days. Nevertheless, you'll be making progress towards this habit. Now, what we're talking about is listening to the New Testament for 28 minutes a day for 40 days. Now, if you're going from nothing to 28 minutes a day for 40 days, that's like a calf looking at a new gate. That's like a deer in the headlights. That's going from zero to 28, 40 days in a row. That almost sounds impossible. And for some, it may be. So here's what I want to say. One of the things that we do in habit formation, and this will help, okay, is we have what we call mini habits. Mini habits. Remember the guy I told you about that started in his exercise program? He says, I'm going to start losing weight by exercising 30 minutes a day. First day was great. Second day, great. Third day, kind of great. Fourth day, oh, his brain says, man, you don't want to go up there. It's 30 minutes, man. Just sleep in. You don't have to forget it. And he said he found that to be very hard. So what he did was he developed a mini habit. He said, no, the only thing I have to do to be successful is go to the gym and do one push-up. And if I do one push-up, I have been successful today. Now, how much weight is he going to lose doing one push-up? Probably not much, right? But what he needed his brain to say was, you have been successful today. I don't want anybody in this plan that we have to ever have their brain say one day, you failed today. I want success day after day after day in every person's life that decides to participate in this. Now here's what happened to him. He would go to the gym and he would do one push-up. That was all he was going to do. What do you think his brain said at that point? Hey, that wasn't so hard. Why don't you do another one? And he'd do another push-up. And what do you think his brain would say? Hey, you've done two, you might as well have done three. And before you know it, he's already exercised for 30 minutes. Now, it didn't happen that way every day, but he said it happened many days. And so what we did was we came up with the first goal for each of our folks that did our project for my school. And that goal was, all you have to do is listen for 1 minute and you are a success. He said, well, what's 1 minute going to do for you? A whole lot more than one push-up. Because you're going to get 7 to 8 verses from God. I'm telling you, I've got one verse from God sometimes, and that's all I needed for the day. You get 7 or 8 verses, you've been a success, because here's what's going to happen. You're going to have a goal. We're going to continue to work on this as we work through into April. You're going to have a goal where you're listening maybe for 20 minutes or 28 minutes. For 40 days, or maybe 30 days, or maybe 21 days, where your goal is maybe that second goal is to hit it every other day, okay? But you're going to find yourself, even if you have that second or third goal, there's going to be a day when life just happens. And all of a sudden, you're going to be laying your head on your pillow at 10:30 at night, exhausted, and your brain's going to go, oh, you forgot to listen. You just skipped right through the trigger. It didn't even dawn on you. And now you're going, oh, I'm so tired. There's no way I can get up and listen for 28 minutes. Your brain's going to go, guess what? You don't have to. All you have to do is turn on your phone and listen to God's word for 60 seconds. And Brother Mike said, you're a success. Now, how about that? Let me tell you what else you're going to get to do. This is the fun part. We're going to give you several things, but we're going to give you a calendar that you can see. In that calendar, those 40 days, we're going to have a couple little boxes in there, maybe three, but one of those little boxes is going to say, I listened for 1 minute today. If you listen for 1 minute that day, guess what you get to do? You get to check the box, and now, oh man, I love to do that. It is so much fun. That is my reward. That's even almost as good as coffee. Checking the box. When you look at that calendar and you see your brain sees that, it does not want to see any empty boxes. It, man, oh, you just, oh, I gotta, ooh, ooh, this is good. This is good. You're gonna bring your calendar up to me. Look at my boxes, Brother Mike. You're gonna show them off to all your friends. We need all of that, see, but the goal here, okay, is to get everybody on board, make everybody feel like a success and engage in God's Word. And you know what? If you listen to God's Word only for 1 minute a day, and I hope you'll do much more than that, and I think you will, but if you only listen for 1 minute for 40 days, guess what you just established? Guess what? You just established a new habit. And the habit is you have now become consistent in engaging God's Word, and it may have been the first time in your life you've ever done that. Some here have never listened to God's Word for 40 days in a row. Some here have never finished the New Testament. Well, we're going to give you the opportunity to do that. And you're going to have the opportunity for change. Now, I've got to close, okay, here. But I got to do this real quick because I want to get you started. All right? So, on your cell phone, everybody take your cell phone out. When's the last time you heard the preacher do that? Your cell phone. Now, you either have an Android or you have an iPhone. Now, if you do not have a smartphone, some people don't. It's okay. You're going to be able to go on your computer to the browser and type in Bible.is. You can download the whole Bible on your laptop or on your computer. Well, they're both computers, but what do you call that other thing?
Desktop.
Desktop. Thanks, Jesse. Your desktop. Now, also, Faith Comes by Hearing has CDs. If you want to listen to CDs, you can do that. Now, they're about $29. They also have a Bible stick. It's about that big, and it's got the little ear thing, so you can listen to it, the little stick, if you want to do that. That's about $25, so there's some cost to that. Some of you are reading the Word of God right now. I'm still asking you to listen. Now, you can listen and read at the same time. In fact, on the phone thing app, it's showing you the text while you're listening to it, okay? So you can do both if you want. But I really want you to listen because I want you to tell me if you thought there was a difference between listening and reading, okay? But for many of us, we're not doing either. So on your phone, so if you have an iPhone, you're going to go to the App Store. If you have an Android, you're going to go to Google Play, and you're going to type in Bible.is to get the app. Okay? So once you get the app, that doesn't mean you have the New Testament downloaded. I'm telling you all this because I want you to start practicing. One of the things you're going to want to download is English. Okay? So you're going to want to get it in English. And the one at the top is the ESV, English Standard Version, Drama. That's the one you want to start out with. Okay, now there are others you can work on, but you definitely want to get a dramatized New Testament so that you get different narrators, you get different speakers, and you hear all the sound effects. Remember, variety helps boost attention. Okay, and then you're going to go, you can see where the arrow at the top left is. You're going to go to that spot. It's going to show up downloads, and you're going to download, in our case, the New Testament. Okay. You're going to download the New Testament. You're going to start with, say, Matthew, okay? And you're going to hit download book. It's going to start with one, chapter one, and you'll see chapter one fill up with ink, and then it'll go to chapter two. It'll just keep on going as long as you keep your app open. You got to keep your app open until you get to the end of Revelation, okay? So, and I think that's our last one there. Okay, so what I want you to do is for those of you who have smartphones, I want you to go ahead and start practicing. Because when we get to doing this deal after Easter, I think it's the Sunday after Easter, I want you to be ready to go, and I also want you to be able to help others who don't know how to navigate, okay? So start practicing, working on it, it's fixing to happen. Okay, the power of God's Word. Let me close with this. Faith comes by hearing. This is just recent. Their African rep, one of them, his name is Remy. He was in Zimbabwe. He said, we visited with the local fishermen in the town of Uji on the shores of Lake Tanganyika. Benjamin, who recently came to Christ, explained to me how he had been a witch doctor for the past 10 years until one day when one of his friends asked him to attend a local listening group. So the local listening group, remember, faith cometh by hearing. They have this little box that they give to people around the world so they can, it's solar powered, so they can hear God's word. That's what this little listening group was. So they had that little box and they were listening to the New Testament. That particular day, when the witch doctor came, happened to be Mark chapter 6. They didn't change it for him. They didn't say, well, let's find the chapter for witch doctors. It just was on Mark chapter 6. Here's what the witch doctor said. It was a long chapter, and I didn't remember everything, but one thing stood out in the midst of everything else. The very last phrase I heard from the recording when it says that people begged to simply touch Jesus' clothes to be healed. I had never heard anything like this and thought my powers were the only thing that could heal people. But right there, I understood and gave my life to this mighty healer. I have now burned all my idols and left everything from that life and have become a fisherman telling others about Jesus. There was no missionary in that story. You know, if I would have met that guy, I would have said, well, I got to find a book on how to reach witch doctors. I got to find a missionary. No, all we need is the Word of God. The Word of God changes people's lives, and it'll change your life. But you got to engage it. You got to listen to it. You got to let God pull the wool back and do his work. Let's pray. Father, we're praying that our church will be full of people, believers, who are so excited about your word. You went to a lot of trouble to record the words that we have today, not even speaking about what we're reading about, how Jesus went about and ministered to people and helped people and loved them and taught them. How sinful for us just to leave that on the coffee table. Father, help us to become consistent. And then as we speak about this in the next few Sundays, what we should do with the text when we listen to it, how we should reflect upon it. Help us, Lord, as you're praying about your own commitment to the Lord in these seven marks of discipleship and now with God's word. Maybe there's someone else here today who needs to make a decision for the Lord. God has touched your heart in some way, maybe to join this fellowship, maybe to ask the Lord to come into your life. Maybe you need prayer, something. Is there someone who needs to come forward today as the rest of us are praying? Just stand up and you come forward, and I'll be standing right here if anyone needs to come.